Welcome to the Naked Gaming Podcast.
We're back.
That was very epic, wasn't it?
And I can't use epic music, though, because I have to pay. And I'm not prepared to pay, because all my money's going on milk. For Bambino, Sue, and games.
Have you got the monitor on?
So this is our new life, recording the podcast. What time is it now?
Shh,
baby. Listen to this, the monitor. Kind of like it makes a weird, eerie sound. I'm going to turn it down a little bit, actually.
That, my friend, is the sweet sound of your child sleeping.
Let's hope it stays like that. Otherwise, it'll be a very short podcast. Oh, we should have a rule that we end the podcast when he wakes up.
It'll be over in 2 minutes.
Yeah, the end. It's been a difficult month to game because guess what? The internet broke again for 2 weeks.
Man.
And then Sky charges £80 for the pleasure. So there has been some
another,
gaming.
Is that another grey hair there, Chris?
Yeah, this is that was from childbirth, not me. Yeah, I'm receding. You'd be a hairdresser simulator, which we have played before, I must say, and you were very good at it. But we have got our regular gaming correspondent, Alex Rhodes, who has a new obsession.
Sometimes when your arm gets cut off, a la Monty Python and the Holy Grail, you can fight on for a bit. And it is actually called 'Tis Just a Flesh Wound.
No, it's not his wife. He's married.
Oh, yeah.
He got married.
Congratulations, Alex.
No,
let's sing.
Oh, yeah, that will cost me money.
That's
as
your
well.
Present to him, your wedding gift.
What, not singing?
Yes.
We're also going to review Diablo 4.
Yeah, and Sea of Stars.
Oh, I mean,
calm yourself.
It's
calm yourself.
A very exciting moment. If you haven't heard of Sea of Stars, stay tuned. It's one you're definitely going to want to check out. And we have news on the way of a gaming choir. Don't sing.
Sorry.
If I can't sing, you can't sing.
Sorry. Please subscribe. Please. Thanks. Bye.
Here's the old news with Lee.
A large basement space in the Science Museum has been filled with arcade and video games. The museum's collection of consoles used to be brought out of storage for short-term power-up game sessions, but it's now a permanent installation, so you can play computer games whenever you visit. The result of the FIFA Esports World Cup final has been overshadowed by controversy. Now, a row broke out after Mark Zachary lost to Manuel Bachur on penalties. Mark's team, Footwiz, claim he tried to stop play because his controller inputs were visible on a big screen, revealing where he was aiming. Organiser FIFA E said it's reviewed footage and found no competitive advantage was gained during the match. In other football news, women's football will feature in Ultimate Team for the first time. The news was revealed as fans watched the announcement of EA Sports FC 24, that's a catchy title, which is the successor to the FIFA games. Wow! And a composer has invited people from around the world to join an online video game choir called Game Choir. It was founded by Ben England, who says more than 1,000 people signed up to take part. The group will sing songs from games like Zelda, Minecraft, and Halo.
It's like a singing special. In fact, you could join the game choir, couldn't you?
What would I be? A tenor. It sounds like a whale.
Well, maybe you could take some lessons from Ben England, who you mentioned, and funnily enough, I actually spoke to him and talked about all things game choir.
I started a whole load of choirs during the pandemic. I was, prior to the pandemic, I did a lot of work with what we call face-to-face choirs. And of course, that all went away when you couldn't sing in the same room. But I realized there was a huge gap in people's lives that needed to be filled with singing. And so I established a group called Home Choir and another one called Choir of the Earth, which brought people together who were singing anyway and formed these big communities of people who really bonded during that experience. And it sort of goes beyond the kind of group perhaps that you might be, you know, when you sit down with friends over Zoom. It really did become that sort of family feel, and people absolutely loved it. And we're still doing this several years later. But I am also, as I'm sure you appreciate, as are you, I know, a really keen gamer. And my children are gamers, my wife's a gamer. And I just saw an opportunity to kind of bring a little bit of that community building, that cohesion, that sense of belonging to to the gamer community, perhaps those people who, I know, maybe they feel isolated. It's one of the things that I suppose people think about gaming is that, you know, you have that vision of someone sitting alone in a room, you know, playing games. And okay, you have your gaming community, but there's not very often that you get a chance to interact literally with thousands of other gamers on something that's really positive and really, really fun and really engaging, like singing.
I think there are a few entry points for classical music these days compared to, you know, you either sort of started learning like I did at the age of three. My parents were, you know, violinists, so there's no escape kind of thing. But there's the other way, which is either film music or I think nowadays video game music as well. There's a huge kind of entry point for people. Did you feel that it was important for gamers to have an opportunity to get involved in that sense, because there isn't really that many other ways you can get interested in classical music apart from if you love film and if you love gaming?
Yeah, no, 100%. And really, it goes beyond classical music. It's just singing in general.
Yeah,
I think I was, for many years before I did this job, I was a teacher and I worked in schools all over. And one of the things that I'm afraid to say at the moment is that music is being squeezed in the curriculum and has been for many years. And so people are leaving school without the sort of the feeling of that singing together is something that we do and that it's acceptable and that it's fun. I think the kind of the footballification, to steal a term from James O'Brien, of singing is that if you aren't the best, it's not worth trying. And that if you go on TV to sing, you're going to be up against other people and you're going to be really harshly judged. And all of that goes to sort of keep people's feeling of community singing really down, and you get a lot of people say, oh, I don't sing, I can't sing. Yeah. Of course, everyone can sing. Everyone has a voice. Everyone uses it every day. It's just you need the permission and you need the sort of safe environment to sing. And so I think this is one of the things that the online choir that I've been running, this sort of model where I teach everything on YouTube. So you can watch it whenever you like. You can sing in your pajamas. You just look at the screen, you follow along with me, and you can pause it, you can rewind it, you can do it as many times as you like. And that gives you that safe space. You're literally at home singing along. And then when you're ready, and that can be straight away or that can be 2 weeks later, you just get your phone out, you put your headphones on, you sing along with the guide track. And we use professional singers who guide you. And then you send it in. And then our engineers mix that together with everyone. Mm. So you are taking part in a big community singing project, but you don't have to, you know, go along to weekly rehearsals. You don't have to stand with other people and feel that sort of, I need to be really good or it's not worth me trying.
Do you think I'd make it into the choir then?
I mean, they do take anybody, but I don't know if there's a limit to that statement. Like, have they heard you sing?
Oh, like, I can sing. Adele?
Turning tables.
For more information, and if you can sing better than that, it's gamechoir.com.
Stop kidding around, Snake.
Oh, Lee.
Tell me about it, Stud.
Little Nightmares 3.
Stop it.
Is on the way. It's been announced.
No. Stop it.
Now,
child, we have to calm down. Shh.
I was confused because the people who made Little Nightmares 1 and 2 said, that's it, we're not making any more.
Mm.
But the people who published the game were like, yeah, no worries, and then gave it to another studio to develop Little Nightmares 3.
But this is what...
So can it be
this
good?
This is what worries me, though, because it was so damn good. Like, it was so... I think I'm going to go... No, I didn't say it.
What?
I didn't say it.
What?
I'd say it was my favourite all-time game, but I don't think it's... No,
that's
no,
close.
No. Crash Bandicoot will always be reserved for that top spot.
The number
but this
one.
Is... This is...
I think that...
It's in the top five.
It's good to know. But the thing is, I've seen the trailer for Little Nightmares 3. It does look really good.
Okay.
It does look like the team behind it that are developing it are taking it to the next level.
It's got
co-op in it.
Okay.
And that's what we've been calling for.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
And it looks like you can play online co-op as well.
We need to find a babysitter. ASAP.
Just thought you might like to know that. We don't know when it's coming out yet, but when it does...
By the way, if you... like we're just assuming here people have played the other two games. If you haven't played...
Go and play them.
Little Nightmares, right? You are missing out, my friend.
It's like a horror...
It's like
side, not really yeah. side scrolling, but it's like a horror kind
multi-platform kind of.
Yeah, you're jumping,
you're running, you meet these different monsters, and you're having to find your friend. It's just amazing, and the graphics, man, it's so beautiful.
It's atmospheric. Let's put it like that. But yeah, we're looking out for it, and we'll let you know when we know the release date.
Right. So we're going to do some new games now, starting with Diablo 4.
Sanctuary has always been trapped amid the eternal conflict. A war between angels and demons. But Lilith serves neither side. She was banished ages ago, but this world is her creation.
My children, the lords of hell are coming to devour our world.
Hell is coming. Hell is coming.
Ah, Diablo 4.
Tell me about this.
So Diablo 3 was...
Educate me.
It's like a hack and slash mega fiesta where you just... picking like a hunter or a rogue or various different characters, a warrior... and then you kill millions of monsters and you get to the end of the level. There's lots of dungeons.
Would I like this?
No.
Oh.
Darkness, you're playing... Now you can play with teams of people.
Why wouldn't I like this?
It's just a very grindy kind of game. It's like a Blizzard classic game where you just grind away your days. Now, we did review Diablo Immortal on the mobile phone. And if you remember, I said it was awesome because it was free. Yeah, okay, if you're going to play it for... the whole of your life, there are problems with the very end of the game where you've got to spend loads of money.
Uh-huh.
But you can have a huge amount of fun. You can play for 40 hours. It's free. You can play multiplayer with people on your phone. And I loved it. And I got obsessed for about a week.
Right.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
Diablo 4 is like that, but not as fun. not free.
Oh, God.
And also...
Do they say the best things in life are free?
And really, I would I still recommend the mobile version. But this one... Unlike the mobile version and the third one, the colour of the game, it's dull.
Oh,
you're in the snow and it's all grey.
Nothing worse than a dark game.
The dungeons are grey, everything's black and dark and horrible. And I didn't get the settings wrong. It's not like I set up the game wrong. And it's just a dull-looking game.
And I've noticed here, you've put long-ass cutscene.
Yeah. There's a very long bit at the beginning where you summon an evil demon called Lilith, which you would obviously hate. But it's just too slow moving. Unlike the mobile, again, you make progress and you're excited to learn new moves.
You like cutscenes.
Yeah, I don't mind that, but it's the actual gameplay that's really slow.
Really
it took
slow.
Too long to unlock moves. Some of the animations weren't very good. Like this is. I've always gone about this. If you open a door in a video game, the door shouldn't clip through you, like teleport through your character.
I remember them. I remember those days.
Yeah, but this is the current generation.
But what about if you're a hardcore Diablo fan?
Yeah, I mean, you know the score. You're going to play for 40 hours and you'll probably unlock two moves and you'll love it and you'll grind away and get some gold and then you'll get a special sword and then a better one and then a better one and you'll love it. And you can play four players in a party and then parties can play together. But I would just say, if you're not a hardcore fan, and I'm doubting that many of our listeners are, just play the free one on your phone because it's a lot more fun.
How much is it?
And this is the thing. £70.
Say what?
It's on PS5, Xbox and Windows. I mean...
£70? I can get a massage for that.
And more. It's getting a 4 out of 10. It's just not for me.
Hello. Follow me. Okay.
Next one, Sea of Stars.
Just don't. Calm
yourself, Chris.
I've had this game in my diary for a long time.
This is the retro one, right?
So Sea of Stars is a little bit like... Imagine this. I'll give you a list of games here. A little bit like the Game Boy Zelda or the Game Boy Pokemon.
Or
if you ever played the Game Boy Advance Golden Sun,
so
which
it comes
is one
up
of
with
my
like little
games.
Speech bubbles and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the text is all speech bubbles. Yeah. You can run around, and the combat is like Final Fantasy VII, so it's turn-based combat. It's like the classic games, like that, but there's a lot of modern twists on it, which kind of keeps it. It's like if they made my favourite games from back in the day, but for me now,
right.
It's perfect for me.
I see.
It's got great story. It's very funny.
Is this what you were playing in bed the other night?
in bed when I woke up all day today. It's so, like, so this is what's good about it. The combat, instead of just pressing, like in Pokemon, when you press attack and then it happens, they spice it up. So if you press attack, your character will jump and do its attack animation. If you press the button after that at the right time, it does a little bit of bonus, just a little one or two extra damage. And if they attack you and you press your button at the right time, you defend it a little bit. You just take a little bit of the edge off it. And then you can do combo moves.
It's a little bit more interactive,
much more interactive,
responsive to what, you know, pressing the buttons and stuff, because sometimes these sort of games,
well, it gets so repetitive, right, and boring, the combat,
right,
just,
right,
it's so many,
it's like Pokemon, you just kind of zoned out a bit while you're having fights or trying to catch Pokemon, because you're just like
it's like when Pikachu attacks with Thunderbolt or whatever, you can't do anything to make that more or less powerful, whereas if you time it right, you could do a little bit of bonus damage.
How much do you think of your life you've spent waiting to, like, beat that Charizard? And all you can do is just keep pressing A. And you see it going down slightly. Keep going. Come on. Oh, God. I'm in trouble now.
And there it is.
Keep going. Yeah. Please survive. I've got no antidotes. Goodbye.
No, you've got no potions. Not antidotes. Get it right. I haven't even played recently.
It's been a while since I've played it.
Well, this is one. If you've got a sort of retro streak in you, if you love older games, it's like that. It's like these classic games, but it's absolutely beautiful. It's like pixelated artwork. But the animations are really nice. You can get...
Can you do those, like, magic attacks that you can in Golden Axe?
Yes, exactly like that.
And it goes...
So you do magic attacks... Oh, sorry. And then you can press the button to boost your magic attacks.
I want to play Golden Axe now.
No, you want to play this. Okay. Sea of Stars. Okay. But you can recruit other characters. So you start with two, then you get three, then you get four, and your team gets bigger in the combos. And
Okay. Anyway. But we've just heard Diablo 4... £70. So how much is this going to set you back?
Well, this is a mere £27.
Are you joking me?
Which is incredible.
That's a steal.
There's just one other thing I want to mention, which is the modern twist on it, which is that
I'm jumping ahead here.
You're called so Solstice excited. Warriors, which is like, Solstice is like, yes, the day and night, you know, equal lengths and all that. If you stand in a certain place and you press a button, you can wind time forward or backwards on the day, so you can turn day into night, and that comes into the puzzles. And it's just a really cool modern twist. The only thing I would say, so it loses 1 point because it has save points rather than you can save at any time. You have to go and read a book and then that saves your game.
Right.
Which is a little bit like, in this day and age, you should just be able to press one button and it saves automatically.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And it loses another point because sometimes, I get the impression that, because the company that made this is French, and I get the impression that some of the dialogue has just got a little bit of translation type issue.
So out of 10.
Oh, it only loses 1 point for those things. It's definitely a 9 out of 10. And it's an app. If you love retro games, just, I don't know why, just stop listening and go and play it. That's how much I love it. Sea of Stars is also available, by the way, on Steam, Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation.
Peel's here!
Now, I've heard through the grapevine...
No singing.
...that Alex Rhodes, right?
Our newly married...
Yes.
...no longer an eligible bachelor correspondent.
Taken off the market. ...has a new obsession that isn't his wife.
Wow.
Hello, Chris and Lee. Alex here, back for another month, with a game that you guys have already played... but I am currently obsessed with, so we will be revisiting. Chivalry 2. I downloaded it a couple of weeks ago when it was on offer. I'd not played it before. I'd briefly played Chivalry 1, which I remember being quite a little sort of buggy and really good potential, but like a little bit buggy and janky and very much like a PC kind of game. This is obviously for PlayStation. I'm playing on PlayStation 5 on console. It's on Xbox as well. And I love it. It's amazing. It's so good. It's improved on almost every aspect of Chivalry 1 from my brief experience with it. It's not as buggy anymore. It's really sort of... It seems a bit intimidating at first to kind of get used to the kind of the control scheme, but you quickly pick it up and you can have some real fun with it. So for those who've never played it before, it's like a kind of a medieval first person sword-a-thon, basically. Imagine Call of Duty, but with swords. The maps are amazing. I'm coming to the game fairly late. I just bashed someone there. They've got loads of maps that, you know, so a typical map, so when you play on the sort of big multiplayer mode, which is... is it 64 people per team? Something like that. A typical map will take about 15, 20 minutes to play, unless one side is completely dominating. Oh, speaking of completely dominating, I'm absolutely smashing this knight. Come on. It's basically all about sort of timing and making sure, yeah, you see, just like that, you do the right sort of attack at the right time. And knowing when to sort of block, knowing when to dodge, and knowing when to just swing a club at someone's head. Most of the maps follow the sort of basic formula of you start at one end of the big map and move towards the other. There's attackers and defenders, and you're basically, if you're the attackers, you're invading, and if you're the defenders, you're obviously trying to fend them off. Here we go. Oh, I missed him there. So you can obviously swing your weapons, you know, big sort of heavy hits with the trigger, lighter hits with R1, sort of special hits with triangle, oh, which I just missed there. That's the sound of me dying, that is. And it's all, yeah, as I say, timing. It's trying to counter at the right time, which will give you kind of a couple of... If you do a successful counter or parry at the right time, you get a couple of seconds of, like, immunity. And that can make all the difference. And, you know, it can give you the edge if you're facing off against, like, multiple opponents at once. Because that's really the key to victory, as I imagine it is in real life. Just gang up on people. You know, if you're... alone, run away. If you see someone, join in the bullying. With your teammates, get around them in a circle and bash their heads in. Me and this guy are about to gang up on this knight, I think. Oh, there's a and he's down. Often you'll get hit sometimes you get whacked, you fall down to your knees, and if you deal enough damage whilst you're sort of crawling around, you get a chance to stand back up. Doesn't happen very often, that. You usually just get decapitated before you can... which I'm about to get decapitated now. Come on. Yeah, okay. Smash down there. Yeah, the key is really just sticking with your teammates, playing the sort of objectives. It really rewards team play, which is really nice. Often on, like, first-person shooters, you know, depending on the game, you can kind of go off by yourself and, you know... cause some real damage, but on this you've really got to stick with your team, sort of advance the line and just slowly sort of close in on the objectives. What I really love about this game as well, if you played the tutorial, it has maybe the worst English accent I've ever heard, like to the point where I don't even think it's an accident. Like, it's got to have been done deliberately. It's like, all right, mate, make sure you grab your sword and use R1 to attack the enemy water bottle. It's really, really good. It's got a bit of a sense of humour, this game, actually, which you probably wouldn't associate when you're getting whacked in the head with an axe. The map is very sort of interactive. There's little things you can interact with. So now I'm in an apple orchard, for example. I can actually pick up the apples and whang them at someone, which causes a bit of damage. All right, here we go. Okay, I'm going to sneak up with this guy. I've got, at the moment, a two-handed club. There's a class system. Come on. Oh, there we go. I'm breathing very heavily, like in real life, because I've used up all my stamina. There's a class system, and each class has a variety of weapons. There's not a huge difference between the classes, to be honest. As well as the sort of melee weapons, there is a couple of ranged options as well. So bows, crossbows. Oh, I've managed to sneak up behind a bunch of people. Oh, they're onto me. I got knocked onto my knees there and quickly dispatched. You can hear it in the sound design as well, the sort of clang on the armour. Oh, that was the clang on my skull then. I got killed by a maul. If I do my battle cry, come on. Okay, well, that wasn't quite a battle cry, but often you hear people yelling and it sort of, it just adds to the atmosphere. Oh, that was the sound of my arm being cut off. Sometimes when your arm gets cut off, a la Monty Python and the Holy Grail, you can fight on for a bit. And it is actually called 'Tis Just a Flesh Wound. Yeah, you quickly pick it up and you have a lot of fun with it as well. So I would definitely say give it a go if you haven't already. I can't wait for Chivalry 3. I don't know if they're working on it at the moment, but if it's anything like the leap between Chivalry 1 and 2, then I think they're going to be in for something really special.
Lord Alex Rhodes of Lincolnshire.
Where'd you get these from? Like, why'd you come up
because
with
them? Because he's been playing as a knight of the realm or whatever. Good luck continuing that obsession now that you're married.
Busy night, but there's always room for another.
One more bit of news.
Go on.
And then we're hitting it and quitting.
Go on.
if you like a retro revival, our kind of old school focus that we do on the podcast very often, Zelda Oracle of Ages and Zelda Oracle of Seasons has become available on the old Switch.
What?
It's made by the director of Breath of the Wild, the hugely popular game. So these are kind of the spiritual precursors of that.
You know what, though? I'm just going to say this now, right? And I'm going to lose a lot of fans here.
You don't like Zelda? I know you're going to say that already.
I want to. No, but it's not you. It's not
you. You don't have to like it.
I want to.
You're more likely to like this one.
I want to like it, Chris.
This one is not really...
I've tried.
This is more Pokemon than the current Zelda generation. But I know you, and it's too much story.
It's just too slow. Ate the microphone then.
It's just too slow. What I will also say, I know I mentioned Golden Sun when we were talking about Sea of Stars. Mm. Golden Sun is also going to be added to the old Switch Online experience. Oh. So if you sign up for that, subscribe to Nintendo Switch Online, you get those two games of Zelda and Golden Sun is coming.
Oh, is that the way now gaming is going? Like
subscription.
Yes, but also like I've noticed like we've got more games on the Switch. And you were telling me the other day some fascinating news.
I was boring you with, go on.
About the PlayStation.
I think it was called PlayStation Q when it was announced, but it's essentially a handheld screen that streams from your PlayStation to your handheld device.
Is very exciting.
Which is exciting, and we'll definitely be reviewing that when it comes out.
Yes.
I'm just finding at the moment that instead of playing on the big screen in the living room and getting out the chair and tilting the screen, because we're very, oh my gosh, posh screen, opening up the thing, getting the controllers out, oh no, it all needs an update. Like, instead of doing that, I find myself, I'm playing the Steam Deck in bed, which means I can play Sea of Stars on the Steam Deck. I'm playing Fallout New Vegas on the Steam Deck, like the Switch for Zelda.
I don't think I've picked up, it's like therapy now. Hi, my name's Lee. And I don't think I have picked up a PlayStation controller for 6 months.
Well, you have had a baby.
I know, but maybe... So I was talking to my colleague at work about this, and she's a mum of one little very cute boy. And she was like, I can't sit down and play a game unless it's one that I can take with me to the toilet or in bed or just somewhere where Jago's napping and I can just pick up from where I left off and just play it.
Diablo Immortal, Sea of Stars on the Switch or Steam Deck or whatever. All these games are how I'm finding that I can fit it in. Now, we've got a problem because next month in the podcast, Starfield, which is like the most anticipated game of this year, coming out on Xbox only. Well, you can get it on Windows PC as well, but I don't have a Windows PC. I'm going to have to get the telly out. I'm going to have to get the Xbox out, which I barely play.
Drag it all out.
To play Starfield.
Well, look, we don't do this often, but I would really like to hear from people on this. Like, especially people who have got kids, right? Do you have the time or the energy to get it all out?
I mean, it's always about gaming.
That's wrong, isn't it? You know, do you just think, actually, I'm just going to go for the Switch? I'm just going to go for the Steam Deck?
I think like, it's very common.
I want to know. And which games do you play? Get in touch.
At Naked Gaming Pod. We're there on X. It's not called Twitter anymore. Although if you go to twitter.com/NakedGamingPod, it still finds us, and also it's still called Twitter. But anyway, let's not get into that, because, at work, we have to say, posted on X, formerly known as Twitter.
What?
That's what you're supposed to say. I just say post on social media. So what? Why do I advertise them? I've just done it there. Anyway.
So, is he still asleep?
Oh, yeah, let's go back to the monitor. Turn it up to 10.
You hear that, my friends? That there. Is the sound of dreams.
I thought you said the sound of silence, but